Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We are here again to hear your word, and we know that when you speak, your words will never fall to the ground. Amen? Amen. Therefore, speak, O Lord, for we are listening today, and sanctify us by thy truth, for thy truth, thy word is truth. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, this morning I have a sobering message. You know, we preach faith and excitement and power of the Lord and so forth all the time. You know, but today I have a somewhat of a different message. It's kind of a sobering message, but I believe the Lord's going to bless your heart. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Paul, he said, you know, I did not shun to declare unto you the full counsel of God. You know, every part of the word of God, you know, we can't just preach one side. You know, we got to bring the whole counsel of the Lord. Amen. So this morning, an unruly evil, the deadly tongue. Amen? Amen. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. You know, that deadly tongue is an unruly evil. So it'll be a little bit sobering message this morning, but it's going to bless your heart if you pay attention and if you listen and submit to the voice of the Holy Spirit here this morning to do you a world of good. So we're talking about the tongue, which is a deadly tongue sometimes. It's an unruly evil. I'm going to start here in James chapter 3. And I want us to pay close attention to this message here. It's kind of different. James chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 2. For in many things we offend all. Now, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. You know, put that in the horse, and then use that to turn the horse around. Even the ships, he says, behold also the ships. I mean, they're so big, you know, though they be so great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about by a very small helm, whithersoever the governor wishes. You know, so that's, you know, you can use a small thing to even turn, you know, a little control steering thing in there, and the rudder can turn that big ship whichever way the captain wants. You know, he says, even so the tongue, see, is a little member, and it boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How many of you know that, you know, you can start a small fire and it can destroy, you know, great things? Do you know that? Does anybody know that a little fire in the forest, I mean, like, you've seen it here in Arizona, you know, during those dry months with the excessive heat and so forth, you know, a little fire that somebody starts can destroy, you know, acres and acres and acres of land. You know, and if you're not careful, it can destroy a lot of property too. A little fire can kindle a lot of things. You know, and it says, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. Now, we're talking to believers this morning. Amen? This epistle of James is not to unbelievers. It's talking to the church. So we're talking to the church this morning. We're not talking to unbelievers. We're talking to the church in this message this morning. So we want everybody to pay attention. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea, every kind of these things, they're tamed and have been tamed by mankind. You know, give it any beast. In fact, sometimes you see, go to some of these circus shows, and you see them dealing with deadly animals, and they've tamed them. They're lions and tigers and different things that normally, you know, are killers. They've been tamed. You know, they've been tamed by human beings. You know, some people even have, you know, tigers and, you know, lions and all these things for pets. I don't know how they do it, but somehow they've tamed. You know, sometimes they've managed to tame some of these things. But listen to verse 8. But that tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, and it is full of deadly poison. Are you still with me here this morning? That tongue is an unruly evil. One man once said it's an electric tongue. You know, it will shock you. You know, it is an unruly evil. It is full of deadly poison. I'm going to talk about some of the poison here this morning. You know, but there's good news. Amen. I'm going to share how you can tame that tongue. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's first of all bring out the evil part of this tongue. What it can do. How it can set the whole body on the fire of hell. You know, it's what the Bible is talking about here. You know, look at all the things that the tongue can do. Verse 9. Therewith we bless God, even the Father. And therewith also we curse men. You know, who are made after the similitude of God. You know, so with the same tongue, you bless. And you give a powerful message like this. You know, and so on. You know, and then, you know, with the same tongue, you say something that will hurt, you know, I mean, that will hurt somebody, and that will cut to their, you know, it's like a wound, you know, and so forth like that. And then we, you know, and the same tongue. Now, verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Amen. These things ought not so to be. You know, doth a fountain send forth from the same place sweet water and bitter? No. You know, I mean, it's going to come forth one kind of, you know, either it's sweet or it's bitter. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear only berries? Either a vine, can he bear figs? So no fountain can yield both salt water and fresh water at the same place. Now, this is our text this morning, and it's a sober subject, but I have some things to say from the Lord about this topic. So I want everybody, by the grace of God, to pay attention. Amen? Now, Jesus had something to say about the tongue and the mouth as well. You know, and we're going to look at some scriptures, and we're going to bring the word of the Lord concerning, you know, how this tongue can destroy a lot of things. And I'm also going to bring, you know, the way to tame the tongue and how to deal with it. Now, listen to what Jesus had to say about it in Matthew chapter 12. Now, of course, you know, the people of his day, they were always accusing Jesus and his disciples of one thing or the other. You know, so, you know, everything that, you know, that they accused him of, you know, Jesus always, of course, he had an answer for every one of them. Amen? Now listen to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. He says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So Jesus is going to give a little discussion here about the mouth. You know, and, you know, but he also says in the previous verse, let me read the previous verse. You know, talking about, you know, this business of, you know, what you get on a tree. You get good, you get evil, you get this and that. Verse 33, he says, either make the tree good, or its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. You know, so you cannot have good fruit from a corrupt tree. Neither can you have corrupt fruit from a good tree, is what Jesus is saying. So he said, verse 35, a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, you know, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, also, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth evil things. Verse 36. But I say unto you, that every idle word, and notice folks, I, Jesus, say unto you, that every idle word that men speak shall they give account for in the day of judgment. Every idle word. Some of you may not know that these scriptures are in the Bible. But I'm going to lay it straight down the line here this morning. Every idle word that we shall speak, we shall give account for in the day of judgment. Verse 37. For by thy words, now this is the power of the tongue. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and also by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now this is the Lord speaking. You will be justified either by your words. So Jesus had something to say about the tongue as well, because words come from tongues. By thy words you'll be justified, or by thy words you will also be condemned. You know, you say every idle word? Absolutely. Now let's see the destructive power that is in this tongue sometimes. You know, how small a great fire this tongue can kindle. And some of you may never have thought about it that way, but listen to what the Holy Spirit is going to reveal this morning. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22. Listen to this. Here's what Jesus had to say. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in the danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say, now that is the word that is spoken, that's from the tongue. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, you know, which means, you know, calling him some bad name or something, you know. I mean, you know, call your brother some slanderous name. Call him anything that is not edifying, basically, is what that is. You know, if you say that to your brother, you shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall call his brother a fool, if you should say to your brother, thou fool, Jesus said, you will be in danger of hellfire. Hello, folks. Are you still with me here this morning? Now, like I said, it's a different kind of message this morning, but this is the word of the Lord. When you say and bring those hateful and curseful words to your brother, you know, or your spouse, or your parents, or your children, or your friends, or your co-workers, or whoever, you'll be in the danger of hellfire. That's how great a fire. That's hellfire. That's the biggest fire you can imagine. Imagine that little tongue kindling that big hellfire. That's what Jesus is saying right here. Same thing as George James said. You know, say by your words, you can be in danger of hellfire. So you better be careful. You know, so let's bring out some more of these things that, you know, this tongue can do. How it can defile a person, you know. Yeah, I mean, no matter what greatness, no matter what other things we do, Matthew chapter 15, listen to this, starting at verse 16. Jesus had many things to say about this. Matthew 15 and verse 16. Are ye yet without understanding? Now, of course, you know, this is the place again where they are challenging Jesus and telling him one thing or the other, you know, whether, you know, they wash with their hands before they eat, or they don't wash their hands before they eat, and so forth. You know, so the Pharisees, all of those people challenging Jesus and his disciples. Listen to the things that Jesus had to say, you know. Let me even start at verse 10. And he called the multitude and said, hear and understand. Verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth the man. Now, so Jesus had a lot to say about words and how to use the tongue. He's giving a warning here and say, the things that come out of the mouth, that's what can defile you. Not whether your hands are clean or not clean when you eat, you know. But, you know, the things that come out of it. What are the things that come out of the mouth? Well, you know, listen to what he says in verse 16. Are you also without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth, you know, so, you know, when you put it in your mouth, it goes into the belly and it's cast out into the drawer. You know, that one doesn't defile your soul. It may do your body some harm, but that's it. That's as far as it'll go. But those things which proceed out of the mouth, those come from the heart. And these are they which defile the man. Can you say amen? That's right. So Jesus is saying, look, if your words are full of venom, poison, you know, and you use all these vitriolic things, you know, things that cut people, hurt people, and say these grievous things, he said, well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, so by your words, we can actually tell what's in your heart. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, so the words that you speak actually indicate what is in your heart. Because these things come from the heart. That's what Jesus is saying. And these are the things that defile a man. Now, you know, but, you know, to eat with unwashing hands, that does not defile a man. That's what Jesus is saying. You know, wash your hands or don't wash your hands, that's not going to defile you as far as the spiritual man is concerned. You know, maybe you will be sick, you know, have a stomach upset or whatever, you get some germs, you know, but that's a physical body. But Jesus is talking about spiritual things here. The things that defile you spiritually are the things that come out of your mouth, you know, and he's going to go on to explain all those other things, you know, later on, you know, so, but let me bring out some more scriptures, you know. Everything, you know, lying and all of these things, evils and so forth, Jesus said, proceed out of the mouth. That's it. How many of you know that the very first sin that entered into this world was perpetrated by a lying tongue? How many of you know that? The good old, you know, I mean, the evil serpent, sly, and the Bible says, you know, very, very sly. You know, I'm cunning above all everything else. You know, came with a lying tongue, you know, a deceitful tongue, and twisted the word of the Lord a little bit to deceive him. You know, started with a lying tongue. And the Bible calls him a liar and the father of lies. And do you know that lies are formed most of the time, you know, by the mouth? People speak lies. You know, the Bible says speaking lies in hypocrisy. You know, people speak lies and things like that. These things come with the mouth. But if it comes out of your mouth, the Bible is saying it proceeded first from your heart. You know. So, you know, we need some circumcision in here this morning. Amen? That's right. You know. We need to circumcise some hearts. And circumcise some mouths. You know, here this morning. And that's what we're going to be talking about. But let's review, you know, in case you're still wondering. So more danger. You know, I mean, some more terrible things that this tongue can do. You know, as you're sitting down, you can already begin to imagine, you know, what this tongue can do. You know, I mean, all kinds of things, you know, that the tongue can do. You know, but the Bible tells us that, look, this same tongue, it can also, you know, you can be justified by it or you can be condemned by it. So in Proverbs 18 and verse 21, the Bible is going to tell us that death and life, which is what Jesus said in another place, look, you can either be condemned by it or you'll be justified by it. You know, so death and life, Proverbs 18 and 21, are in the power of the tongue. You know, the power of the tongue. It can bring death, you know, if it is that unbridled and untamed and unruly tongue. You know, but if it's a tongue that has learned to be seasoned with grace and with salt, you know, it may bring forth the fruit of life. Amen? Amen, folks? You know, so, you know, it can go either way, you know. Listen to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. You know, so many things, I have to cut this short because there's so many things about the tongue in the Bible. There's so much discussion about it. You know, if I have to really go into all the scriptures I have marked down here, we'll be here for 2 hours. But I'm going to cut through some of them. Verse 3 of Proverbs 13. He that keepeth his mouth, keepeth his life. See? But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So he's telling you something too. Again here, look. You know, when you speak too much, you know, there's going to be problems. You know, is what he's saying. In fact, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, will tell you the same thing. Proverbs 10, I hope you are writing down these scriptures. Proverbs 10, 19. In the multitude of words, there lacketh not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. Amen? See, because that tongue, you can't pray through that tongue. And before you know it, blah, 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 you know, blabbing off and too much in too many words, there's going to be something there that is inappropriate, you know, or something that's going to be sinful, you know. So, you know, but when the, you know, when the tongue is properly bridled, it can be even a blessing, and it can be a tree of life. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 4 will tell you that. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. How many of you can say amen to that? So there's good news. So this message is not all gloomy and so forth. You know, when the tongue is, you know, tamed, and we're going to show how to do that in a little bit, you know, it becomes a wholesome tongue, and it becomes a tree of life. You know, it becomes encouragement. It becomes a blessing. It becomes, you know, seasoned with salt and seasoned with grace, and it begins to offer praise unto God. Now, this is what the tongue should do. Amen? You know, but, you know, when it is not tamed, you know, it becomes a gossiper. It becomes a tale bearer and all of these things and so forth. And it brings grievous wounds. Now, listen to this. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 6. Now, I'm going to go into some of the, you know, dangerous and deadly poison that the tongue can bring. Leviticus 19 and verse 16. Here's what God has to say about, you know, tail bearing and whatever else that God hates on this thing. Can you put that scripture up, please? Thank you. Thou shalt not go up and down as a tail bearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy brother or thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Tail bearer. You know, God will not have any part of it. So he has a law upon that, you know. Thou shalt not go up and down as a tail bearer. That tongue, you know, sometimes that unruly tongue will not mind its business. You know, it's going to tail bear and going to do all of these things that has no business there, you know. And these are the things, these are the little foxes that are spoiling the vine. These are the things that are eating away, you know. They are like, you know, flies in the apothecary. You know, they are things that are bringing a stench into our offering and into our sacrifice of praise. You know, because, you know, the tongue is not tamed. And then, you know, you use the same tongue that you use in praising the Lord. You use it in all these other things, and God is not pleased. God is not pleased. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 19. You know, in this chapter, in the preceding verses, he says, look, there are several things that the Lord hates, you know, but one of them is a talebearer, a false witness that speaketh lies, and one that soweth discord. He said, these things, six things that the Lord hates, and begins to, and he says, seven is an abomination unto him, and he begins to read down the line here of all the things that he hates, and look at the company that this thing holds. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven, an abomination unto him. A proud look, right off the bat. See? Now this is the company in which a lying tongue falls. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wickedness. And I remember, out of the heart proceeds all these evil imaginations. You know, feet that run swiftly to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. You know, so you see all the things that, and inside some of these things that I described, you can see the role that the tongue plays in many of these. You know, a lying tongue is there, you know, and a false witness is there. A sowing discord is there. You know, so the tongue is playing a role in all of these things that God hates. I mean, these are the things that God hates, and these are the things that bring swift judgment and so forth. Now, listen to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. A soft answer, he says, will pacify wrath, but grievous words will stir up strife. You know, now grievous words. Now, you know, you're by yourself, among yourselves, those of you who are sitting here today, anybody else listening to this later on, you know, among yourselves, you know. I mean, the greatest problem, you know, most times the problems in families, in homes, in marriages and so forth, it comes from what somebody says. You know, the wife said this, the husband said that, and so forth. How many of you are still with me? That tongue is unruly. You know? I mean, they come to church, we come to church and say, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. And then you go home, you turn around, you know, and you use that same tongue, you know, to cut. You know, the same song that we use to bless the Lord, we bring it, it's like a sharp wound, you know, and so forth. You know, that's not going to work. And the Bible says, look, you are in danger of hellfire. Every idle word. Wow. You know, one time even people came to the Lord, Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 21. He said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but those that do the will of my Father. He said, in that day, many shall come unto me and say, Lord, did we not cast out devils and do many mighty works in your name, heal the sick and sang the praise and shouted the victory in church and do all of these great things? And Jesus said, well, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You know, perhaps they never got that tongue under control. You know, perhaps they allowed that tongue to run wild. You know, never brought it under control. You know, and then, you know, all of those things. Paul said, look, that's why after I have preached to others, I bring my own body, and I dare say, my own tongue under control, lest I should be a castaway after I have preached to others. Can you say amen? And the Lord have mercy on us. Amen? You know, so, you know, tale-bearing, gossip, lying, and all of these things, and backbiting, and so forth, the tongue is behind all these things. The tongue is behind these things. And if you speak any idle word, or if you speak words that don't edify, and you say, well, you know, I didn't mean it. Well, you, of course you did. Because out of the heart proceeds forth the things that come from the mouth. Are you getting this today? If you understand that, say amen. If you say something mean and terrible to somebody, and then you say, well, I didn't mean it. Of course you did. Because it was in your heart before your mouth proceeded to say it. That's what the Bible said. You know. So, you know, how can we cleanse the heart then? You know, well, or let me say, how can we tame the tongue then? Well, first you have to cleanse the heart. Amen? That's right. You know, how do we tame the tongue then? I can take time to give you all the examples of all the great, terrible things that tongue has done in the Bible. Even the Bible said the great man Moses, you know, he spake unadvisedly with his mouth, you know, and he got into trouble. You know, and so forth like that. You know, and, you know, I mean, Moses even one time he called, you know, the children of the Lord stiff-necked people. Well, we know they were stiff-necked, you know. But, you know, he got into trouble by tripping over himself and saying some things, you know, and so forth like that. You know, so, you know, the tongue is a world of iniquity. It is a fire and has deadly poison in it. Unless it is tamed. How can it be tamed? Well, you know, Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 16, have you ever wondered why, and I'm not bringing this revelation here today, have you ever wondered why Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe? Turn with me to Mark chapter 16, and let me read that to you. When Jesus, of course, many of us know this as the Great Commission and all of that, you know. But let me bring out this thing here, or this revelation here, so that you can understand it. Here's what Jesus said. Verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And so on and so forth. Take up, you know, serpents and do all of these things and so forth. Why did he talk about speaking with new tongues? You know? Why is it important for believers to speak with new tongues? Now, of course, people say, well, this is the tongue, you know, that you speak in prayer. You know, that's a speaking in an unknown tongue and so forth. Well, maybe it is. But maybe it goes even beyond that. But I want to bring a revelation that the Lord pointed to me out of this verse. You know, that tongue, that natural tongue, must be converted. Amen? That's right. It must be converted, it must be circumcised, and it must be sanctified. You know, that's why Jesus called it a new tongue. Because if any man be in Christ, hello folks, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 17. You know, so the same way, when you come to Christ, your tongue must become new. In fact, the speaking of new tongues that people receive when they get the Holy Spirit and so forth is just something to illustrate the fact that we need new tongues. We need even the natural tongue to be tamed and changed. Hallelujah. So it can become new. That's right. They will speak with new tongues, you know. They will become new people. They become new persons. That tongue will be tamed. You say, who then can, you know, we've read in the Bible, in James, where it says that this tongue, no man can tame. This tongue is unruly. This tongue is this and so forth. You say, who then can do this? The Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost can tame that tongue. Praise ye the name of the Lord. But you've got to submit. That's why he gives us those new tongues. You know, it's a pattern of the taming of the natural tongue. You know, but you must submit, you know, to the Holy Spirit in order for him to be able to do that. You know, let me give you a few more scriptures here. I'm going back and forth here, you know, to between the good and the bad. Proverbs chapter 18. You know, the good and the bad of the what the tongue can do and so forth like that. Proverbs chapter 18. Let me read a couple of verses here. Verses 7 and 8. A fool's mouth is his destruction. So we see that, you know, the tongue can lead to destruction. Amen? Hello, folks? A fool's mouth is his destruction. And his lips are the snare of his very soul. Send his soul to hell if he's not careful. You know. The words of a talebearer, that's how bad it is, are as wounds. I said that already, but now give me the scripture for it. They go down into the innermost part of the belly. You know, that's what a talebearer does. You know, what is a talebearer? You know, what do you bear tales? That's when you hear something about somebody and you go tell somebody else. That's talebearing. You have no business doing that. Hello, church. Nobody has any business telling tales about anybody else. Now, some people even come in the guise of prayer. Say, oh, you know, want to pray, let's pray about this. And so it's still talebearing. Praise ye the Lamb of Lord. If God wants you to pray, you go into your closet and pray for that person. Amen? Because the moment you say something not so edifying or something not so good about somebody else, you know, that's like a wound. You see, that's going to go into the, you know, uttermost inside part of that other person that's hearing it into their belly, you know, and so forth like that. And it's not easy for you to recall it, you know. Some of you might work in companies where you send an email and you have a chance to recall the email sometimes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You can send an email and say, well, I want to recall this email. Well, you cannot recall these things about tail behind. Once it is said, you might say, well, you know, forget about it and so forth like that. Yeah, this is just between me and you. Don't think about it and so forth. No. It's going to go inside that person's mind and that devil is going to use it. Are you still with me? That devil is going to use it. Praise the Lord. You know, but that's not what our business is in the church. Our business is in lifting people up. Hallelujah, somebody. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear about somebody's downfall. But I want to know that somebody's been picked up. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. And so don't tell me. I don't even want to hear it. You know, I couldn't care less about that. You know, but I want to pray for everybody, you know, that they will receive the mercy of the Lord. Amen. You know, so, you know, that's what tailbearing is. When you go to tell something and you hear something and you go jump somebody else and you go tell somebody else, you know, that's tailbearing. That's just gossip. That doesn't do anybody any good but harm. The only thing, the only information that you'll be passing about anybody else is something good. Amen? That's right. Did you hear that such and such just, you know, the Lord just gave him a miracle and he just received a new job. You know, and they just got a new baby. And the Lord answered their prayer and he blessed their hearts. That's the kind of thing you ought to be saying about somebody else. Amen? Hallelujah! Nothing negative should ever come out of your mouth about somebody else. Because that's the tongue. That's how it sets in that tongue. It's a world of fire. It's deadly poison. You know, and you will give account for every word that you say. Praise the Lord. And you can't say, well, I didn't know, you know, and so forth. Like, well, you know now. Because see, now I'm preaching it, you know. But before I preached it, it was in the Bible. You know, but you have no excuse now because now I'm preaching it, you know. So we must all take care, you know, to bridle this tongue. Well, how are you going to do it? You know, that's going to be the last part of this message, you know, but I'm still showing you the power, the various things that this tongue can do. Now, of course, this tongue can also be used in praising the Lord. This tongue can be used in, you know, witnessing to people about Christ. Amen? So it's not all bad, you know, but it's just that, look, the bad sometimes seems to outweigh the good of this tongue if you are not careful, you know. In fact, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19, listen to what he has to say, you know. I mean, there are just so many things that the Bible has to say about, you know, about the tongue. He said, look, we need to be slow to speak and swift to hear. You know, so, because look, if you're not slow to speak, you're likely to be involved in multitude of words, and in that there lacketh not sin, the Bible says. Verse 26 of the same chapter. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own soul, and man's religion is vain. You know, you need to bridle your tongue. You got to be able to control that tongue. Don't let your tongue run wild. Amen. You know, most people can't control their tongue, you know. And they'll say something and they'll come back and apologize later on. You know, you should work on not having to give any apologies. You know, don't say the wrong thing in the first place. Now, I'm not saying if you say something wrong, you shouldn't apologize. That's not what I said. You know, but not having to be in the need for apology over some bad thing you said, that's a better place to be. Amen? That's right. You know, so, and even in the family, in the marriage, in whatever, you know, these things, you know, this is like a poison. It's a deadly poison. It's just, it's there, you know. But you got to get those things out of there, you know, and that's when we begin to have an opportunity for real revival. Well, let me switch this now and talk about how can we tame the tongue. You know, I can go on and on about all the great evil that the tongue can bring, you know. And you can think about it yourself. You know, if you have the Holy Spirit, or if you think you have the Holy Spirit, you sit down and think about it yourself. And you will know the Lord will come. Look, and let me tell you something too. You know, the Holy Spirit is it's like a little barometer. It's like a little check, you know. It's a checkpoint, you know. He'll checkpoint you when you're about to do something evil. You know, he'll checkpoint you when you're about to say something bad. He always does. You know, but when we grieve the Spirit long enough, you won't even hear his voice. Are you still with me? You know, he'll tell you, don't say that now. He'll tell you, you know, don't say it. You know, you will hear that voice. But, you know, people go ahead and say it anyway. You know, and then after they said it, well, the Holy Spirit is grieved. Because he told you not to do it. But then you did it. You see, so you see, already there's disobedience, and there's all kinds of things that that leads into, and so forth. You know, and finally, you're going to have to face and stand up, you know, for that. You know, God's going to have to deal with you on that, in one way or another. You know, I tell you what, too, you know, some people say, well, you know, the blood of Jesus, you know, covers all sins. Well, let me tell you, let me give you some good advice here this morning. The blood of Jesus covers all confessed sins. Amen? You know, because the Bible says, you know, if a man hides his sin, he shall not prosper. But whosoever shall confess and forsake shall have mercy. Hello, somebody? So don't you tell me the blood of Jesus covers everything. No. You know, it covers the confessed sins. If it covers everything, then everybody will be saved. Hello, folks? If the blood of Jesus covers everything, you know, confess or not, then the whole world will be going to heaven. Because you cover all the sins that were not confessed and forsaken. But that's not the truth of the gospel. You must repent of your sins. And I'm talking to the church. When you say idle words, it is a sin. When you speak hateful words, it is a sin. And you must repent of these sins in order for the blood of Jesus to cover it. Hallelujah, somebody. You can't just go on and say the blood of Jesus, you know, covers everything. I begin to shout the victory and speak in tongues and then use the same tongue to speak idle words and to speak hateful things. Jesus said himself, you are in danger of hellfire if you ever said to anybody thou fool. Have you ever called somebody a fool? Think about it. Those of you who are sitting here. You ever called anybody a fool? I know I have. You know. Call somebody a fool. He said, when you do that, you are in danger of hellfire. That's how serious it is. You know. Or you just say some bad thing. Call somebody an idiot or something. You know, you say some, you know, terrible things about people and so forth. Now, these people are made in the image of God. Hello, folks. That's right. Now, that it's God's business to determine whether they are a fool or not. So, watch what you say with those tongues. Amen. And if we don't know how to control those tongues, you know, they're going to get us into real, real trouble. You know, so, you know, when there is a situation that needs picking up, you know, when somebody is down, what do you say to them? You know, the Bible says that even Jesus, concerning Jesus, said a smoking flax he will not quench. In other words, you know, a branch that is burning and the fire is almost out, he's not going to quench it. He's going to fan it. You know, but what do? Do you actually quench it? Do you say some more things to put the person down? Or do you say something that's going to lift them up? Are your words and their tongue, are they a blessing or a cursing? I mean, what is it? Now, this message is for everybody in here today, children and older, all alike. You know, and all idle words and jesting and so forth, which is not convenient, Bible says. And some people, you know, just jest and make, you know, feel the jokes all day long and think that, you know, that's okay. Well, that's not okay. You better repent or you're in danger of hellfire. Hello, folks. And the church should not be engaged in the business of all this filthy nonsense. You know, our mouths should be the gates of praise. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Your mouth should be the gates of praise. Hallelujah. You know, and you should be called the son or daughter of encouragement is what you should be. You know, you should use your words to speak blessing and to speak grace and so forth. Listen to this in Colossians chapter 4. And let me just read verse 6. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Amen?
Amen.
That's what your speech should be. You know, you need to think. You should actually, somebody once said, you know, aim before you shoot. You know, you need to think. Look before you leap. Think before you say something. And listen to the Holy Ghost first. Because he's talking to you. Sometimes he said, don't say that. Don't go down that route. Don't go down that path now. And he warned you. But sometimes people don't listen. They do it anyway. And all the time it brings regret. Amen? Anytime you go against the Holy Ghost, you're going to have lots of regret. And you're going to have lots of pain. Amen? You're going to have lots of pain. You know, you need to listen to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm already going into how you remedy some of these situations. Verse 10. If you want to live long, you want to have good life, you want to have good things from the Lord, here's what you should do. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. And his lips that they speak no guile. Amen? Folks, are you with me? Because you're not answering. I know it's kind of a sobering message, you know, but I'd rather speak, you know, a sobering message that heals you and puts you on the path of righteousness. You know, amen? That's right. Because see, God will also require of my hand and the hands of those who are shepherds whether they told the truth to the flock. You know, so we have a responsibility to bring the word of God every which way. You know, and I have a responsibility to bring the word that lifts you up, you know, and helps you, give you faith, you know, for crisis and faith, you know, to accomplish great things. And we do that all the time. But we also have a responsibility to bring the word that cuts, you know. Amen. Because the word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. You know, sometimes it will lift you up, sometimes it will cut. But when it cuts, it will also heal. Amen. That's right. You know, when he cuts, he will also heal. That's what the word of God does. You know, so it's a little cutting and a little thinning here this morning. A sting a little bit, but it will heal you and it will give you eternal life. Praise him in the name of the Lord. So that's only if you take heed. But if you don't take heed, then you are in danger of hellfire. Doesn't matter how many hallelujahs you can shout. Doesn't matter how many sick you can heal. Doesn't matter how many of these things you do. You know, that tongue, if you don't control it, it's going to get you into a lot of trouble. You know, not only here in this world, but also, you know, when you face the Lord, you know, on the day of reckoning, it's going to get you into trouble. That tongue is a world of fire, boy. You better get it under control. Amen? So if you love life, you want good things in life, you better keep your mouth from speaking down and, you know, chastening your tongue and so forth like that. You know, and, you know, that's easier said than done. That is easier said than done. But I'll tell you something too. Look, here's a word of advice. You know, when you're about to say something wrong or retaliate and so forth like that, you know, take a deep breath. Don't say anything. Just be quiet, you know. Because the Bible says, look, he that refraineth his lips is wise, but a fool is just babbling and so forth like that. So keep quiet for a few minutes. Amen? That's right. And don't let the devil tell you, are you going to let him get away with that? You know, you're going to let her get away with that? You need to give her a piece of your mind. Now that's that old serpent coming in there again. Amen? Amen, folks? You need to get that devil out of there. You tell him, get thee behind me, thou old crooked devil. You know, don't listen to the devil. Don't let him tell you to get the last word in. You know, you can't, you know. Getting that last word in is going to bring sin and it's going to kindle a world of fire. Keep your mouth shut. Amen. Praise God. Refrain your lips from evil, you know, and so forth. If he will say anything at all, bless the name of the Lord. You know, there was a story of a woman. You know, it's an old woman. She never said any bad thing about anybody all her life. You know, always saying good things. So one day, one of her friends said, you know, well, what do you say about the devil then? You know, because she had never any bad thing to say about anybody. Always good stuff. You know, so one day the friend came and said, gee, you know, I want to trip her up. Said, what do you say about the devil then? He said, well, he's a good old adversary. Amen? She still said something good about the devil. Anyway, that's just a joke. Call the devil a good adversary. Well, he is a good adversary. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, what does it say? Your adversary, the devil, is going about looking for whom he may devour. Amen? Amen, folks? Amen. So you need to be vigilant. You need to be sober. You know, and notice that because he's looking for who he may devour, that means he cannot devour everybody. You know, so if he can devour everybody, he will just be devouring everybody. He won't be looking. But he can't do that. So he's looking for the careless ones. He's looking for the ones that are not staying in prayer. You know, and so forth like that. Let him that thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, lest he does what? Lest he fall. You know, when you think you stand, you better take it, lest you fall. Now, the ultimate remedy for these things that we're talking about, Galatians 5:16, you know, and then finally after that, I'm going to tell you something else. The ultimate remedies for these things, I'm going to talk about them now. Walking in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. When you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And one of the desires of the flesh is to get your tongue, you know, to get your tongue going and get you off track. You know, cause you to get into trouble, you know. If any man offend not in word, you can consider that man a perfect man. You know, because word offenses are the greatest ones. I mean, they're the easiest ones. They're the most common ones. You know, word offenses. You know, something, something, something. Somebody's going to say something, and somebody's going to say something because somebody said something, and so forth like that. You know, that's always the, you know, behind everything. But walking in the Spirit, staying close to the Lord in prayer, circumcising your heart, not just your flesh, you know, you know, and circumcising that tongue too, getting that tongue under control, folks. You need to get that tongue under control. From today, watch out for that electric tongue. Before you say something, you know, think about it. You know, if it's not going to edify, just be quiet, don't say it. Amen? Amen, amen, folks. You know, but I'm going to tell you a story here in the Bible, and I'm going to close with this. There is a man in the Bible called Isaiah. And so many of you may know him as a great prophet and so forth. Well, you know, he also had to deal with this issue of the unbridled tongue. And the way he dealt with it is what the Lord wants me to present here this morning. This is the ultimate solution to this unbridled tongue. Isaiah chapter 6. Turn with me this morning. The ultimate solution to the unbridled tongue is being in the presence of the Lord. Can you say amen? That's the ultimate solution. Being and staying in the presence of the Lord. Not just consecration, fasting 3 days a week, I mean 3 days a month or whatever, and then after that you do whatever you want. No. But staying and living and abiding in the presence of God. Amen, folks. That's the ultimate in bringing that tongue under subjection. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. My goodness. Amen, folks? I'm getting good response just from reading that verse. Above it stood the seraphims. 6 wings, with 2 he covered his face, and 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And all the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now that's the glory of the Lord. And Isaiah, my lamps. Listen to what Isaiah proclaimed. Then said I, woe is me. For I am undone. I'm finished. Because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Now this is what being in the presence of the Lord does to you. It makes sin become exceedingly more sinful. Are you still with me, folks? And I just say to you, anybody that, you know, bragged about the presence of the Lord has not been in the presence of the Lord. You know, if you be in the if you get in the presence of the Lord and you, you know, say something else or whatever, that you haven't been in the presence of the Lord. When you enter the presence of the Lord, it makes you feel unworthy. Hallelujah. The Bible says John fell at his feet as dead. You know, even Daniel, when an ordinary angel of the Lord came upon him, he lost his strength for many days. But when you see his strength fill the temple, this is what happens to you. I am a man of unclean lips. Woe is me. I dwell in the midst of unclean people. I mean, people of unclean lips. Help me, Lord, is basically what he's saying. Because, wow, my eyes have seen the King. I've seen the glory of the Lord. You know, when you see the glory of the Lord, it exposes your own unworthiness. Amen? It exposes, you know, that you are nothing before the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, but the mercy of God. See, first you have to acknowledge before the Lord. You must get, this is the ultimate in dealing with this unbridled tongue. This is the one part of the body which nobody has been able to tame. But this is the ultimate way in taming it. First, you must get into the presence of the Lord. And that presence of the Lord will reveal to you your unworthiness in the areas that you are you are lacking. And don't make any excuses for yourself. Don't say anything like, well, you know, I'm doing better than I was. No, you are not. God wants you to be perfect. Amen? You know, because I've heard people say all those kinds of things. You know, that's not going to get anything done. You need to say like Isaiah, I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of unclean people. You know, people of unclean lips. I am nothing, Lord. I am undone. You know, help me, Lord. And so forth. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal. This is what the Lord does. See, when you acknowledge your sin before the Lord, and that, you know, you this tongue, you can't tame it. You know, here comes the seraphim. He brings a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongues of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth. Hallelujah. And he said, lo, these have touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. This is the ultimate way in getting that tongue to be tamed. Entering in and staying in the presence of the Lord and asking God to circumcise your, you know, that is God branding. This is branding. God branded his tongue. Amen? Hello, folks. How many of you know how cattle is branded? They take a live hot iron from the fire and they brand that cattle. Amen? That's what the Lord did to his tongue here. God branded his tongue. Hallelujah. He took a live coal from the altar that was in the presence of God. And God branded his tongue. And that's it. That took care of it. Praise ye the Lord. But he had to get in the God's presence and he had to empty himself and he had to acknowledge his sin and his unworthiness. And God then branded his tongue and he became a man that was highly used by the Lord. Now, if you are here this morning and you need this kind of branding, now don't look at anybody else. You know, I want you here before the altar as we pray. You need God to brand your tongue because this tongue is setting you on the course of hell if you are not careful. If you need a branding, God's Holy Ghost branding of your tongue, I want you here before this altar, this man. I'm not going to pray for you. You're going to pray. I want you to come closer. Let's kneel before the Lord here. And let's begin to pray and ask for God. Remember, every idle word will be given account of. Anytime you ever said to your husband or your wife, you're a fool, you're this or that, anytime you've spoken an idle word to anybody, Jesus said you are in danger of hellfire. This tongue, everything else has been tamed. But this tongue can no man tame. Only the Holy Ghost can brand it. There is a branding from the Holy Ghost here this morning to tame that tongue. Let us pray. I want you to call upon the name of the Lord. I want you to confess and say, Lord, I am a person of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. How then shall I ascend into the hill of the Almighty? Being that my lips are unclean, I have guile in my heart because uncleanness that you speak in your mouth comes from your heart. You must purge out the old leaven. You must cleanse your heart before the Lord today. You can't do it yourself. But it comes by the washing of water with the word like we have heard this morning. Lay it before the Lord this morning. Ask for his mercy. I don't want a silent soul before this altar. Cry unto the Lord. And let the Lord hear you. And the name of the Lord God hear you in the day of trouble. God hear your petition here this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I that speak this message, I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. How then, O Lord, shall we ascend into that holy temple? How can we stand before the Lord, being that we are in danger of the council, and we are in danger of the judgment? Give, O Lord, this morning that Holy Ghost branding. Send a coal of fire from the altar and touch every tongue. and every lip in here this morning, and remove our iniquity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we confess, we ask, O Lord, for mercy and for grace. Circumcise our tongues here this morning, Lord. Renew the right spirit within us, so that our speech may be seasoned with grace and with salt. And Lord Jesus, teach us, O Lord, to be slow to speak and swift to hear. Teach us to hear the words of grace from the Holy Spirit and to report the same with our lips. Words of blessing, words of grace, that with our lips we may bless only and not curse. That good water may come from our fountain only and not evil. Sweet and not bitter. Merciful unto us here this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Enter into his presence this morning and ask for his grace and for his mercy. The presence of the Lord always reveals our unworthiness in our lives. Remember, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. For us to be a part of the Lord, every darkness must be expunged. And this is great darkness. This little fire, this little thing, this deadly poison, this unruly member of our body, kindles a great fire. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray for strength in the inner man today. For every one of us, Lord, to circumcise our hearts first, and circumcise our mouths as well. Brand us with the fire of the Holy Ghost from the altar in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we confess our sins before you. Every idle word that we have spoken, every time that we have told tales that was not our business to tell. The Bible says a whisperer and a tale bearer separated among many, even very friends. This tongue will cause separation of friendship. It will bring a rift between husband and wife. It will bring a rift between parents and children. Bring a rift between friends, associates, and so forth. But more importantly, it will put us in the wrong place with God, on a path to destruction. But we are persuaded better things of the people of God, even though we don't speak this morning. The Lord be gracious unto every one of us in Jesus' name. The Lord circumcise our hearts this morning so that our mouths may be bringing forth good treasure. The Bible says, out of the good treasure of a man's heart, his mouth speaketh. Let our hearts be filled with good treasure of the word of God and the grace of God here this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sanctify our hearts, O God. Teach us, and we shall be taught. Lead us, and we shall follow. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to encourage every one of you that are here present and listening to this message this morning. Come back this weekend for our consecration meeting, because we will continue this. We need to all be consecrated before the Lord. And come back on Friday. And don't forget, this Wednesday we will not have a Wednesday class, but we will have a prayer meeting at 6 a.m. on Sunday to start up our fasting and our consecration for the weekend. Then we'll have our evening prayer meeting as regularly scheduled. Evening service regularly scheduled for Friday as a faith lab. Then Saturday morning we will have an hour of prayer at 6 a.m. And Saturday evening we'll have an hour of prayer at 6 p.m. Attend as many of these as you can. Come and pour your hearts out to God, and the Lord will bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand up as we close. Now I have a wonderful promise for every one of us. He says, behold, I will restore, saith the Lord. The closer to my appearance, the more perfect you be. Hallelujah. As the Lord comes, as His coming is getting closer, the more perfect we will be. Behold, I will restore, saith the Lord, the closer my appearance, the more perfect you be. Sing it again. Behold, I will restore, saith the Lord, the closer my appearance, more perfect you be. My own shall receive full measure from him. And righteousness, and will be covered with my love, as the brightness of the sun. Behold, I will restore, saith the Lord, the closer my heart. Appearance, the more perfect you be. Behold, I will restore. This is God's promise. Say, give me by the spirit of prophecy. Lord, closer my appearance, the more perfect you be. My own shall receive full measure of faith, of peace and righteousness, and will be covered with my love, the brightness of the sun. Behold, the more perfect you be, behold, I will restore. The closer my appearance, the more perfect you be. My own shall receive full measure of faith, of peace and righteousness, and will be covered with my love as the brightness of the sun. Father, O Lord, make us even more perfect. We know, Lord, your coming is getting closer every day. Make us more and more perfect. For the path of the righteous is as a shining light. Oh, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Cover us, O Lord, with your love as the brightness of the sun. And let us receive that fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. The fullness of the measure of faith, of peace, and of righteousness, even as you have promised. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's share the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you on Friday. Don't forget, consecration this coming week. Amen. Enjoy your day. Praise the Lord.